Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, entitled Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service, text number 15. Matadreha Kalaya,
Matadreha Kalaya,
Haritam Vanamalaya,
Haritam Vanamalaya,
Parathya Haravalaya,
Parathya Haravalaya,
Kiridangada Nupuram,
Kiridangada Nupuram,
Matadreha Kalaya,
Matadreha Kalaya,
Haritam Vanamalaya,
Haritam Vanamalaya,
silvan flowers and a swarm of bees, intoxicated by its delicious fragrance, hums above the garland. He is further superbly adorned with a pearl necklace, a crown, and pairs of armlets, bracelets, and anklets. So, translation response. He also wears around his neck. A garland of attractive silvan flowers. And a swarm of bees. Intoxicated by its delicious fragrance. Hums about the garland. He is further superbly adorned. With a pearl necklace.
A crown and a pair of armlets.
Bracelets and anklets. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
From this description, it appears that the flower garland of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fresh. Actually, in Vaikuntha or the spiritual sky, there is nothing but freshness. Even the flowers picked from the trees and the plants remains fresh, for everything in the spiritual sky retains its originality and does not fade. The fragrance of the flowers picked from the trees and made into garlands does not fade, for both the trees and the flowers are spiritual. When the flowers is taken from the trees, it remains the same. It does not lose its aroma. The bees are equally attracted to the flowers, whether they are on the garland or on the trees. The significance of spirituality is that everything is eternal and inexhaustible. Everything taken from everything remains everything. Or, as has been stated in the spiritual world, 1 minus 1 equals 1.
1.
And 1 plus 1 equals
1.
The bees hum around the fresh flowers, and their sweet sound is enjoyed by the Lord. The Lord's bangles, necklace, crown, and anklets are all bedecked with invaluable jewels. Since the jewels and the pearls are spiritual, there is no material calculation of the value.
Om Kanti Paranda Sri Kanti Nishla Kaya.
miles away from him. So that is Krishna. So we are trying to imitate Krishna in all different ways, including the fragrance. So this is spiritual world. Then how about the beauty of the material world? How long does it last? Yes, there is beauty in the material world, and especially beauty of the youth. Age from maybe 16 to 24. See, there is a special attraction for people who are in this age because of the attraction of the youthhood. We can see that, and it is very attractive. And oneself feel a bit proud about it because I have that youthful enthusiasm, youthful charm, youthful features, youthful skin. Everything is attractive. The skin is shining. Now, give some time. Give a matter of 10 years, maybe 15 years. See, things started changing. You start seeing sometimes a double chin, some wrinkles, the attractiveness is fading away. Then yes, of course, we have solution. There's a Maya shop, is there, you go to the bottom section, you can see the whole world of beauty products, cosmetics. Because just to add up, to cover up for the fading beauty of the material world. One time I went to a skin specialist, a dermatologist in Melbourne, very expensive, a specialist, so expensive. So as I went into this clinic of a dermatologist, I noticed it is not just a skin clinic, you know. It was just like a beauty shop. You know, all products are cosmetic products. It's all about skin cosmetics. And there is big pictures before and after. Before liposuction and after liposuction. You understand? If there is extra fat in the different parts of the body, they can remove that. And you can have you can look even better after the surgery. So this is a facelift. You know, the whole advertisement and the before and after of everything. Just the. So I was thinking, okay, this is not just a clinic, it is a beauty shop. Because everyone wants somehow or other to maintain the freshness of beauty. However, it is impossible. It's not possible. How is it possible? When you walk in the street or anywhere, you can observe sometimes a mother and her daughter passing through. Maybe mother may be a bit elderly and daughter may be in the youthful age. Okay. So mostly or many times, or father and son. Okay. When you see that, when you observe, you can see they are looking alike, right? Mother and daughter looking alike, which is very natural. I have observed many times. They look alike. However, what's the difference? You can see how the age is progressing. The difference between the daughter and mother is nothing but the time factor, in one sense. The time, you can see the passage of time. It's just a matter of time. Things are going to change. That is the reality. In fact, there is a very wonderful pastime in the Bhagavatam where Narada Muni is instructing King Prachina Parishad because he was entangled in the sooty activities, just enjoy the material world. Of course, according to the prescriptions of the Vedic scriptures, not like now, like cats and dogs, but there is a prescription of the Vedic scriptures. Still, Narada Muni was so compassionate, he was instructing him. And in the course of his narration, he presented an allegorical story in which there is a story of this beautiful lady who wants to marry, but no one wants to marry her. Her name is Kalakanya. Kalakanya was approaching everyone and asking, I want to get married. Can you must be compassionate towards me. Please marry me. She was approaching everyone, but no one was accepting her. Even Kalakanya even went to Narada Muni and requested Narada Muni, can you are a brahmachari, can you please marry me? Narada Muni said, no, I can't. And Kalakanya cursed Narada Muni. Said, curse is that you cannot stay at one place more than 1 or 2 days. You had to travel all the time. So it is not that Narada Muni got cursed. One time by Daksha, but he got cursed twice by Kalakanya. Now, so it was good for Narada Muni because he is a traveling preacher. So, what is more, it was more of a blessing than a curse. So then, it is said, Narada Muni said, you can go to the the king of Yavana. You can take shelter of the king of Yavana. His name is Bhai. You can go to Bhai and you can take shelter of Bhai. So the Kalakanya goes to Bhai and asks for shelter. Bhai, he understood who is. He said, I cannot marry you, but I can accept you. I have a son, and as a daughter, I can accept you. And you can, from now onwards, you can attack anyone. So, in that way, they made up a team and started attacking Puranjana, this allegorical person, Puranjana, the king of the, or the resident of the city of Nine Gates. So, that is nothing but our own body. So, no one wants the Kalaganya. Kalaganya means the daughter of time, and that is known as Jara. Jara means the old age. So, no one wants. No one wants, but everyone has to accept. There's no choice. So this is the time factor which is influencing anything and everyone at all the time. And then one has to surrender. What can one do? One has to go for it. So this is the material existence. So it is the objects, it is the persons, and also it is a relationship. Right? What happens to the relationship? What happens to the passionate loving affairs? The passionate love, after some time what happens? It becomes just lousy. It loses its charm and there's no choice. We cannot do anything. It is like some people, you know, have seen boys. Initially they are, you know, in an affair with a girl and, you know, just flying like anything, you know, just flying in the sky. So that time if you try to preach, no effect. If you try to come for the program, no effect. Because they are flying. They are not in this world. So I met one boy and did the same thing. He was flying. So invited to the program. No interest whatsoever. Then it is just like a balloon which is, you know, blown up, and at one point, you know, it's a prick, it actually boom, it goes away. Same thing happened. After some time I asked, so how are you doing? Are you with your girlfriend? Then I saw his face, then I understood what is going on. He said, sorry, not anymore. So unfortunate.
Is it ready for
the program? Exactly, the same thing. This is how it is. So one is flying at one point, and another point it is crash landing. So this is material world, and there is no choice. And even the relationship in marriage, the same thing happens. You know, it is that emotional abandonment. I am feeling distant in my relationship. He is not talking to me anymore in the same way. These are problems. In fact, I was in a darshan meeting with the guru actually. And one elderly couple came and they were telling the same thing. You know, he is not interested in talking to me anymore. Partially joking, but partially there is the amount of truth, because that's how any material relationship, it loses its charm. And in the material world, so there is counseling. Go and try to do different things. Go for a break. Go try to repair the relation. Go try to reinvent, rejuvenate. So there are different methods that is provided by different counselors. And of course, there are books. If you go to bookstores, there is a whole section on relationship. How to say yes, how to say no. How to go together. Couple skills, so many different books, all based on how to have this relationship going in a meaningful way. As we know, time takes its toll. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned in the first canto itself, in the fifth chapter, a very beautiful verse explaining the effect of time. Tasyeva heto prayateda kovido nalabhyade yadhramitam vidyatha tanabhyade dukkhavadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira rambhasa. A person who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for the purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet down to the lowest planet. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. A very important point. As far as the happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in due course of time. Now is the more important point. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. Now the time factor can bring both happiness and distress. Just like we saw how things are fading away. Sometimes there is a boom and sometimes there is a burst. Both are brought by the time factor. We don't need to separately endeavor for them. Just like the happiness can come, the same way the miseries will come. So, a philosophically inclined person or a devotee must endeavor for spiritual upliftment. To relink ourselves to Krishna and work on that relationship in devotional service. That's why here in this verse, the proverb presents the spiritual mathematics. 1 minus 1 is equal to 1 and 1 plus 1 is equal to 1. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So this is our spiritual mathematics. Because from the complete, complete units are emanating. And still the complete is intact. It remains as complete. That is Purnam, that is Krishna. All the material creation, all the living entities, innumerable planetary systems, everything is coming from Krishna, but Krishna remains as Krishna. Nothing is lost from him. There is no loss or gain. He is inexhaustible. So this is Krishna, this is spiritual world. So as Prabhupada says, when Krishna comes to the material world, Krishna is not missing in Golokuta. Krishna is still there. So this is Krishna. So now, how about the devotees? So we talked a bit about, you know, the fading nature of the material world. Is there even the positions? If somebody is long enough in a position, people want a change. He is long enough in a position. We need a change. So nothing actually lasts. How about the job? You know, it is nowadays getting redundant. It's not a question of losing its charm. It's not there anymore. So that is the reality, right? Now, how about the devotees? For us, we can take a methodic stock of our inner consciousness. We can take a stock of something in the same way as devotees, we can take a stocktake of our own consciousness. It is very important. Especially if you look into ourselves in a matter of, you know, every year, it's good to do very frequently, but at least once a year there is a tangible change. Or once in 2 years, or once in 5 years, I'm looking back and we see we are looking ourselves. What are our feeling towards devotional service? What is our feeling towards Krishna? What is our attitude towards devotees? This doctrine really helps. Where are we at this point in time? Are we feeling, am I doing the same thing again and again? Yes, because day in and day out, it's just a service, the same thing again and again. Devotees do feel that at times. It's a reality. Same thing. What is the big deal? Same thing I'm doing again and again. Is there anything about it? Taking darshan, it can become very mechanical. Right? The same thing. I'm coming, you know, Govinda Madhavish. Initially, I had that excitement when I heard Govinda Madhavish. That excitement was there. But now, no, it's not there. It's gone. We do feel that. It is a reality. Then, reading the same book again and again. Yeah, I know the philosophy. This point I have read so many times. I know this. And after all, Prabhupada is telling, we are not the body, we are the spirit. So, we are servant of Krishna, we have to engage in devotional service, we have to chant Hare Krishna. It is repeated over and over. What is there in this book anymore? Anything more? It happens actually. I was speaking to a devotee who was doing Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta. He was admitting the same point. As he was going through the cantos, you know, first 6 cantos he said he managed. But as he was pushing through 7, 8, 9, etc., he was telling, when the purport comes, he feels like, you know, I know already the philosophy. And I know it already. It's not a new point. Can you see? So this is the mentality. This is the mentality. We tend to, the material consumption actually creeps into our own devotional life.
To enjoy.
Yeah. Then we feel, you know, there's nothing new. Yes, that's right. It is that we want to enjoy. That is separate from Krishna. Because that is the material energies attacking. So again, same point applies to when chanting. One can feel, or at least at times, in the same mantra, I'm not feeling anything. It's alright. So at this point, it is a time for us to pray, understand the transcendent reality, that it is a problem with our consciousness, it is nothing wrong with the process in itself, it is a problem with us. It's just like if there is a sun and a cloud, and if we cannot see the sun, it doesn't mean that there is no sun, it is just a cloud. In the same way, we can see our consciousness is clouded. So it's a time to go deeper, it's a time to pray. And diligently, with focus, follow the process of devotional service. And as we pray and we try to do endeavor, then we can see the reciprocation of Krishna.
How? That we'll see. Krishna
is amazing actually. He can reciprocate to us at any point, at any time, if we want his reciprocation. In fact, if you see the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he read pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj hundreds of times. He was crying. Every time he was crying. This is, of course, it's the Mahabhava, it's on a different platform altogether. Still, they are not getting actually bored. Srila Prabhupada, he read his own books. Prabhupada wanted to hear the narration of Krishna book. If somebody authors a book, generally speaking, it is very difficult to read again and again. Especially first one go through the reviews and one go through the proofreading, editing, copy editing, everything. After that, okay, fine. After that publishing, one doesn't want to read again and again. One gets really sick of it. Especially if it's one's own book. But Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to hear Krishna book. Devotees used to read and used to enjoy. He used to relish so much. Srila Gati Prabhu in his memories of Srila Prabhupada, he tells this repeatedly. How he used to pick and choose different pastimes. And Prabhupada used to listen and he used to clap, you know, when the Krishna is killing the demons, you know, Prabhupada used to clap, you know, like this, he used to do like this, and he used to laugh. So he used to enjoy so much Krishna's pastimes. So this is transcendental narration. So if we are feeling that reading Bhagavad Gita, it is boring, means there is something wrong in our consciousness. Right? Even Advaita Acharya, with his associates, he was reading and discussing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, not necessarily a Rasa Shastra directly. Bhagavad Gita, it tells everything. In fact, Govardhan, there's a Govardhan palace, right? Devotees go, they spend time. So there was Vaisheshika Prabhu, Keshavarath Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj. They were spending some time. So every day, what they would do, they would get together and they will read Bhagavad Gita and discuss. And some days they will read Chaitanya Charitamrita and discuss. This is our real process. Tushyanticha, Lamanticha. This is the process. Machitta, Machitta Prana, Bodhyanta Parasvara. This is Bodhyanta Parasvara. One is talking about Krishna. And one actually relishes and one can contribute. It's very, very nice. So I was yesterday speaking to Adi Krishna, who was telling, we need to implement in the ashram. We don't have a session where we are reading together. Some lectures, things like that, but it is very important that devotees read together and contribute something, speak something about Krishna according to one's realization. So this really helps to nourish one another. So if one is completely covered by Maya, some ways which can happen, but still by this association, naturally one is forced in one sense to contribute. So one actually thinks about Krishna, one actually hears about Krishna. One cannot be switched off. In Bhagavad, one can easily be switched off, right? You know how to be switched off while listening to a lecture. But if one has to speak, then one has to switch on. So in that way, one can pick oneself from Maya, which is very important. So it is important for Grihasthas, because husband, wife, kids can sit together, read together and discuss. Same with Brahmacharis, can do the same, it's very important. Now, Bhagavad explains, how does Krishna reciprocate to his devotees? How Krishna gives that freshness? In the third canto, there is a very beautiful verse in which it is mentioned that Krishna, if somebody is thinking about Krishna, Krishna can inspire him. If we feel we are lacking inspiration, then the best process of inspiration is not going to talk here in outside, where there is inspirational, motivational talks. No. And if someone forgets me, I take away that inspiration. So that is an inspiration in devotional service, not to make money. Not that inspiration that Krishna doesn't give. So Krishna gives that inspiration. And very relevant to this particular purpose, there is a verse in the fourth canto which is spoken by the Supreme Lord to the Prachinas. So the verse goes like this, and it is very important for us as practicing devotees. Navyavat vridhaye yajno brahmaidat brahma vadirhi na mukhyanti na shochati na hashyanti yatogata. This is here the word, it's very important. Navyavat. Navya means, what is the meaning of navya? Nava or navya?
New.
Navyavat. So this is very important. It is relevant to this verse. Navyavat. Yes, it's ever fresh. So the Lord sitting in the heart. Navyavat hridaye yat nyaha. Yat nyaha means one who knows, one who is situated in the heart. So he makes everything fresh. So always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. So this is the secret. This is the reciprocation of Paramatma. What is the reciprocation of Paramatma? He gives us a fresh experience. When we come and we see the beautiful form of Sri Radha Vallabha, we can go like that decade after decade. Still, one will feel it is very fresh. Looking so beautiful. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can chant year after year. Still, one can feel, oh, it is so nice, so fresh. We don't feel like, you know, oh, yesterday also I chanted the same thing. This 1 minute before also I chanted the same thing. No, because the Lord is reciprocating to his devotees. So this is the experience. So a devotee's life is to experience this verse. A devotee's life is to realize this verse, how Paramatma is making their devotee's life ever fresh, by giving fresh experience of devotional service. Why? Because Krishna is non-different from his service. Bhakti is the energy of Krishna, it's ever fresh. Krishna is fresh, his service is also fresh. So Krishna is Navayavana, so is the service to Krishna. So Krishna is giving that to us. And it's our great opportunity to take this to our capacity. So we should do it and we should experience. And if not, if one is feeling covered with Maya, then pray to Krishna. Request Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate. That is another way of we can see the real presence of deity in our life. We can pray to Krishna and we can experience the reciprocation. It's simple, straightforward. And the opposite is dryness of speculation, jnana, and voidism. It is very dry. There is no sweetness. It is simply dry and it is based on mental speculation. Even at the time of Shankaracharya, this jnana process, it is based on word jugglery. They used Sanskrit grammar to juggle the words and they told many things, looking apparently intellectual. Now also it's the same thing. It can have different names and forms, but it is the same thing. You know, the power of now. Have you heard of power of now? Very famous book. You know, Eckhart Tolle, oh, very famous. You speak to anyone, especially marathon spending so much of time in distribution. Speaking to any people who are spiritual, wherever, immediately, even in the country towns, immediately they speak about, yeah, I am doing the meditation of now. You know, people are into the so-called spirituality. They consider that it's really spiritual. I was on the way to Viljura, and I did books at one place, I forgot the place name, and I wanted to do some more books. So we were just driving off through the highway, and we forgot that the car was low on fuel. And suddenly we realized that it is just finishing, it is blinking for some time, it is just going to stop. Suddenly we looked on the left side, there was a fuel station. So we drove into the fuel station, and as we drove into the fuel station, a bus came in, a V-line bus. And a lot of people started walking into the fuel station, to the shop inside in the fuel station. So I was with my mantra, so I wanted to do some books. I was sitting there in my hand and I had to do some more books. So suddenly he said, okay, I'll go inside the book. He went inside the shop for filling the fuel and stuff. I said, okay, I'll try some books. I pulled out some books and started approaching, as people are coming out from the bus, started speaking to them. So One was a German girl. So she was traveling. She was going all the way from Melbourne to Mildura for fruit picking, you know, get some job because there are, you know, vineyards and all those stuff, there are a lot of farm. So I spoke to her. So she said, I said, you know, I'm a monk. You know, I'm giving out these books. So immediately, the first thing, just now I read this book, Power of Now. So it was so amazing. I can't describe, so wonderful. This is how people are.
Would have told him, you were there now and I'll take
it. Now, immediately I gave the book, now, this is the power of now. She was very happy. She was very happy. Yeah. She took the book and I said, you know, come with the girl, she gave a donation. She was appreciative. But it is so much spread all over. Even in country town where, you know, hardly a few shops are there, some people know about these things. And what are these kind of people selling? It is word jugglery. You get into your real essence, which is that is stillness. You can experience between the words. You can experience between the thoughts. The stillness, that is your essence. Like that. This is word jugglery. Shankaracharya did in different way at that time. Now there are people who have got millions of views. Millions of views. Their lectures are watched by millions of people. And this is the kind of philosophy. There is nothing substantial. It is just cheating. Basically, it is cheating. In fact, I had this when you talk about cheating, etc. But he was not taking up the process. He was standing one or two rounds for over 15 or 20 years. Not because of me. He met some devotees many years back. But he was going to his own temple. So he made a statement. He said, my observation, because he goes to different gurus, different organizations, he reads multiple Bhagavad Gita's. So he made a very interesting statement. He made a statement that I have gone to many spiritual organizations, but ISKCON is only interested in personal transformation of people. ISKCON devotees, they are asking, are you still eating meat? Are you chanting? Are you consuming alcohol? What are your habits? So only ISKCON devotees are interested in personal transformation. Everyone else, they speak the philosophy and they collect the donation. They never say, don't eat meat. Don't do the illicit activities. They never say that.
They stop the donation.
Yeah, they stop the donation. They don't have followers. There is no money. There are no followers. So he told me. So I was wondering, he, as a neutral observer, even though he has been to so many things, he could see that this ISKCON movement is true. It is not cheating. I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada said, me and my Guru Maharaj and myself, we will tell the truth. Even no one follows us, still we will not cheat anyone. I told this to my dad. He said, it is true. See how this whole thing happened. He read Prabhupada's Leela Bhagavata. After that, he learned all the appreciation. So this is the reality. Yeah, this is the reality. The ISKCON is giving the truth. As Prabhupada said, in Melbourne, we need one moon. Why do we need so many rascal stars? Because someone asked the same question, you know, why your movement don't have so many people? Prabhupada said, why? Why do you need? One moon is enough. So we have so many moons, right? Giriraj Maharaj wrote a book, Many Moons, about Srila Prabhupada's disciples. They are moons. And they are creating more moons. This is Krishna consciousness. Not cheating, giving the reality, giving the truth. And if you give the reality, then people do accept, people do appreciate, and we can really feel it. Then we see this kind of nonsense, then we can understand that this is cheating. Because we are speaking from experience. Everyone can experience the effect of chanting. We can experience Krishna. It's a reality. According to our own consciousness, we are experiencing Krishna. So, we can boldly. We have actually nothing to worry, nothing to lose. Because we are telling the truth. Actually, no one can check us in that sense. No one can really defeat us in our arguments. People may not accept that as a different story. But Prabhupada has given everything in terms of arguments. Everything is given. Prabhupada has given everything. So this is Krishna consciousness. Now, even about Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is such a wonderful book that at the end of Bhagavatam gives the glories of Bhagavatam. The sages are so honest. They are so honest. They are even glorifying their composition because they know very well that it is not their product. No sages say that I have manufactured this. The glories of Krishna is eternal. Just like we chant during the Kartik month, Damodarashtakam. Damodarashtakam, even though it is spoken by Satyavarta Muni in his conversation to Narada Muni, it's an eternal prayer, the eternal pastime, the eternal narration that is spoken or revealed through Satyavarta Muni. Similarly, the Upanishads, material scholars, they do argue that the Upanishads are coming in succession and it is written by different sages in as the time progressed. So it is, we cannot really say that it is coming from such and such Veda or it is coming from a long time back. No, they say that it is being written by different sages in due course of time. That's how the material scholars, the Indologists, they do argue in this way. But the reality is that this eternal knowledge is revealed through the heart of different sages in different times. So that prayer, the knowledge in itself is eternal, even though it is revealed at different point in time. So we cannot timestamp the knowledge. This is how it is. So since the sages are aware of this, they forget to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram namam namam tadeva shashvat manaso mahotsavam. It is said, tadeva ramyam ruchiram namam namam. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is such that it is namam namam, it is ever fresh. It is becoming newer and newer. So this is from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadeva shashvat manaso mahotsavam. This is talking about a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, his mind is nothing but manaso mahotsavam. We know Mahotsav, right? Big festival. So his mind is Manaso Mahotsav. Why? Because he is thinking about Krishna. He is thinking about the spiritual world. He is thinking about the festivals in the spiritual world. So his mind is always Manaso Mahotsav. Of course he is in bliss. A devotee like Srila Prabhupada. And the same principle is applicable to Krishna, because Krishna is Navayavana. Ever fresh. Increasingly fresh. So that is Krishna. In fact, no material time can deteriorate the freshness of the spiritual world as it is described in this particular verse. Nothing. Everything is always fresh. It's always attractive. In Brahma Samhita, towards the end, about the time, there is a very nice description. We know the verse, right? In the Shriya Kanta Kanta Parabhusha, in that Nimishatha Kyo Va virajati nahi yatrapi samayaha. It's a very important in this connection. Where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future. And hence, it is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That is the Nimishartha. So this is the if you want to know about real now, if you want to talk about the meditation of now, then you have to meditate on the spiritual world like Krishna. That is the real now. Because there is no material time, there is no influence of past, present and future in the sense of the material sense. So this is the spiritual world. So in the great devotees of Krishna, like Rupa Goswami, they give wonderful description of Krishna in Bhaktirasavrasa. He talks about the beautiful form of the Lord. As we know, Krishna actually passes through different ages. Even though everything is a Swarup, everything is his eternal form, still he goes through his Kamara. Kamara means is babyhood. And till what year? It is till the end of 5th year. Krishna goes through his Kaumara. Then, after that, he goes through his age of Pauganda. Pauganda means, after Kaumara, the Pauganda starts. That's the age in which Krishna plays along with his cowherd boyfriends. So it is said, the Kaumara or the Balya, the babyhood, is for his parental affection, for the parental vatsalyas. And Pauganda is for Sakhyas, because Krishna is playing with his cowherd boyfriend. And after that, he starts the Kaishora till the end of 16 years. That is Kaishora. And then it starts the Yavana, youthful. So Krishna always remains in Navayavanam Chaya. He always remains in ever fresh, youthful form. So this is Krishna. And Rupa Goswami even further explains for devotees to meditate on Krishna. Rupa Goswami further classifies, even though Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and even Krishna's mind, thoughts, they are not separate from Krishna, but Rupa Goswami says we can separate them for the purpose of meditation and analysis. So that's why in Nectar Devotion we can see further description about different ages of Krishna, different qualities of Krishna, different activities of Krishna. So this is given. So even the Yavana is classified into three. Yavanam in its beginning, the Kaisharam in its beginning, then Kaisharam in its middle, and Kaisharam in the end. How Krishna's bodily changes take place during this age. And think about Krishna, giving more details on Krishna and helping us to, okay, now you focus your mind on Krishna. So this is Krishna, this is the eternal, ever fresh, youthful personality of Godhead. So we can, our mind can actually become enlightened thinking about Krishna. That is given in Krishna consciousness. So we are very fortunate that we are in this moment and we have the opportunity to practice, realize and share Krishna consciousness. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Krishna.
You said that you get in the Bhagavad, you get confused that I already know this. Why should I repeat it again and again? How to control that thing?
Oh, it's a very good question. So the question is, if you read again and again, it looks like we have read, so you know, we may get bored with that. So how to control them? So we need to understand two things are there. One is, reading is not enough. We need to practice and we need to realize. So if we hear many times anything, it helps us to remember. And then when we remember that, then we can try to practice. So for example, we hear so many times chant attentively. While chanting here, be focused. But when we hear many times, we tend to hear, we try to, okay, I heard so many times, so it's a reminder, because we tend to forget many things. Do we forget things? Yeah? Okay. We all forget things, so it helps us to remind us. Then, if we still feel bored, we can pray to Krishna. Krishna, help me to read. Read me to understand. Help me to understand more. We pray to Krishna, Krishna. Good? Thank you. Any other? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, how to overcome offenses in the mind?
It is part of mind control. The question is how to control offenses in the mind. It is part of mind control. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in Kali Yuga, in general, Jiva's mind is always offensive. That's why we are exempted from mental offenses. At the same time, if we leave the mental offenses for too long and if we nourish them, then they will not remain as mental offense. It can come out as words and further as action. So actually the offense starts in the mind. So the question is very relevant because we need to check our mental offenses. So to prevent the mental offenses, many times, giving an example, sometimes I felt, say, envy or in a bad feeling to a certain devotee. It's in the mind. No particular reason. It's not that someone did anything to me. It felt like that. So I thought about it, you know, what to do with this position. Then I understood, okay, this is everything is based on envy. I'm envious to that devotee. So this happened a while ago. Then what I did, I started serving him. Because it can be embarrassing to really go and tell that devotee, but start serving him. Then I found that offense went in. I didn't have anything particularly against him or anything, but something was coming. So that went away. So similarly, if you are having such kind of offenses to a particular devotee or anything, bad feeling is there, do some service in that way to go away. Depends on what kind of mental offense also. This I gave one example. Do you have any particular offense that you are thinking about?
In general, disrespecting and not giving understanding these devotees not doing the service properly.
So, if you are in a position to correct others, you can, but otherwise, better not to. As Srila Prabhupada said, now as I have become a guru, I have to do this task of finding fault in others. So I didn't want to do that. So for us, we are not guru, or we are not in a particular position to correct anyone. If we are, we should. If not, we shouldn't. Even if you find fault, we have to understand, you know, how many good things are there. There can be fault, we may see fault. We cannot say we don't see anything. We may see fault, but don't see only fault. See good also. A devotee is doing so many things, there can be some mistakes. So don't see, just don't focus on the mistake. Focus on the good things. And if it is too much, one can judge some senior devotees who can take something which is good. But at the same time, if you are becoming grumpy, if you are becoming developing a grudge towards the devotee, then it means seriously we have something wrong within ourselves. We have to see same fault, maybe I have the same fault, that's why I am seeing the same fault in others. So one has to be a bit introspective in this regard and see. And we understand our aim is not to find faults in others, that's not our purpose. See good in others, it's helpful. And still, if it's not going, do some service. Glorify and some service. You feel much better actually. Especially if you do some service, the devotees are very merciful. They do reciprocate. If you do some service, then we see, we thought this person is such and such, but he's a very nice person. Actually, Krishna, very interesting, many times if we have such kind of negative conception about a devotee or even about a service or about anything, if you pray to Krishna, Krishna actually suddenly gives some realization. Oh, it's not like that anymore. So if you have sincerely prayed, that's actually, you see, it's not like that. Krishna is giving me such a wonderful devotee, or such a wonderful service, such a wonderful opportunity. Things actually changes because it's all in the consciousness. So Krishna can make everything clear. Yes,
Prabhu. Just a realization on this. In one sentence, it's when we think we are master, we see the faults in others. But when we think we are the servant of others, then even if we see fault, we think, how can I serve and to overcome? That's it.
Any further questions?
One more point on the power of now or something, the speculations that are going on. One person came to the temple in Cape Town some time ago. And he was like telling us, yeah, I went to this guru. He was doing this talk and about 1,000 people went there and all that. And they were all listening to him. It's a big hall, you know. A big, big shopping mall in the theater inside. People, 1,000 people were all listening. So I asked him, how much was the entrance? He said it was like $25 or something. So I told him, so what did you learn? He said, I learned that I am it. So I said to him, my dear sir, if you are it, why the time is against you? He was like this bewildered. Why time is against you? Why can't you stop me the time? He was just thinking. So I told him, we just lost $25. And I told him, look, even one simple ISKCON brahmachari can defeat the knowledge of this greatest guru, that so-called greatest guru that people are paying, thousands of people going to listen. One simple brahmachari can tell you more than that. And he was like, wow, man, I never thought about it. So, yeah, he's associated with the devotee now.
Yeah. Our mantra book is much more valuable than, you know, big books and big presentations. Just take any book, you know, 50 cents, $1, $2, that has such much powerful information. It can transform the life.
And hope.
Yeah, that's it.
How stupid is this?
Yeah,
I admit, you know, what is this nonsense?
Yeah, this guy is telling, you know, not that which is not. How can you describe? No form, no name, no conception. The mind which tell ask you for what is it, but we cannot explain. The final thing is like nadi, you know, Sanskrit is nadi. This guy is telling it, not that which is not. So we cannot describe. We can only give the pointer, and if you ask about, if you point towards the pointer, it is pointless. Like that, all full jugglery of words and nothing much.
One scientist who was speaking to a Catholic priest, it's on YouTube, Richard Dawkins, very famous scientist. So he said to the Catholic priest, he said, everything comes from nothing. So the Catholic priest said, can you describe nothing? And then he said, nothing is something like, and he couldn't continue. And then the whole room, everyone started to laugh at him. And he got angry, why are you laughing at me? Nothing is like something.
Yeah.
He asked to use something to describe that.
Yeah.
He defeated himself and everyone was laughing on TV.
Yeah, this guy has gone even smarter. He said, I'm using the word thing to explain this. Because I cannot explain that. So I'm using the word thing.
A thing.
A thing. So I'm using this, even though it's not a thing, but I'm using this word to describe the thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, smarter, you know. People are getting more smarter.
Smarter is illusion.
Illusion, that's right. Yeah. It's interesting how he was defining it. Same old philosophy, same old impersonalism. Nothing great, you know, the same thing, branded new, that's all. That's going on. And people are paying money. Talks, I checked how much it cost to attend a talk, you know, $150 like that for a talk. It's not cheap. People are happy to pay. And the company people are foolish, you know. People are just foolish, misled completely by illusions.